Hello, it's Friday, October 19, 2007, and I'm Eric Hufschmid. Christopher Bolin sent me an email message the other day and asked if he could put an audio file on my website. However, he had one request. He wrote, "There is only one thing. If we put this up on your website, then you should stop saying that I am dead or tortured. This would be a graceful way for you to restore your credibility after being snookered by DBS." So, once again, Christopher Bolin is trying to convince me that he is doing fine and that I should stop suggesting that he is a prisoner. This is like slapstick comedy. He secretly makes audio files from a secret location and then sends me an email message to post the file. Why doesn't he post the file himself on his own website? Or, better yet, why doesn't he call me and then we can have an interview about his situation, and then I can post the interview on my site? If he can't afford a phone call, he could send me his phone number and I will call him. If I were to travel to Europe or Asia or wherever he is, would I be able to visit with him? Is this one of the reasons he doesn't want us to know where he is? He claims that he doesn't want the Chicago police or the Zionists to know where he is. But how does he accept money while keeping his location a secret? The people who work at PayPal and his bank obviously know where he is. A French court convicted George Soros of crimes that were much more serious, but George Soros doesn't hide. Christopher is writing articles and creating audio files, but he is still behaving like a prisoner who doesn't have any visitation privileges. I suppose the Red Cross is not allowed to inspect his conditions either. And his voice is very calm, as if they gave him a drug to relax him, such as Paxil. By the way, in case you haven't noticed, the Rents website will promote certain articles from Christopher Bolin, such as the recent ones in which he tries to convince us that he's okay and that we should give him money. Some other message boards will promote these recent articles also, such as Surfing the Apocalypse. These websites ignored almost all of his earlier work, and they are still ignoring everything I do, so their promotion of his recent articles is more evidence that they are promoting his articles now because he is their prisoner. They can now control what he writes, and they want us to believe that he is doing fine so that we let them continue with their kidnappings, murders, and suicides. A lot of people are still having a hard time understanding why the Zionists would kidnap Bolin and why they would expose their own crimes. But it's because they're in very big trouble right now. They can't stop the information about their crimes from coming out, so their only chance of surviving this battle is to get control of this so-called truth movement and get control of everything else, such as the legal system, the government, and the media. They must dominate us. This requires that they get rid of people that they don't have under their control, such as me and Bolin. They try to lure you away from us and over to their websites. And they try to get fights started between us. And they try to make you suspicious of us. And they try to make you forget about us. They promote their people, not me or Bolin. Many of them simply take material from me and Bolin and put it into their own words. In order to avoid getting fooled by this trick, you have to make a distinction between who creates the information and who takes information from other people and puts it into their own words. It's a serious mistake to promote a person simply because he makes a few interesting remarks, because those remarks may have come from somebody else, in which case you're promoting a plagiarizer, or a Zionist agent who's merely trying to get your attention, or somebody who just wants to be famous. Look at where the information is coming from. Most of the material on the internet is just a variation of what somebody else already did. Only a few of us actually create new material. Another topic I wanted to mention is that Mark Glenn held his No More Wars for Israel conference at the Marriott Hotel in Irvine, California, during the weekend of October 13, 2007. There are some interesting aspects to this conference. First of all, consider how they advertised it. In addition to identifying the speakers at the conference, they had seven people listed under the category called "Open invitations have been extended to the following personages." Among the seven people they listed were President Jimmy Carter, presidential candidate Ron Paul, and former Prime Minister of Malaysia, Dr. Mohamed. Mark Glenn is not the only person to use this technique to attract people. There is an organization called the Freedom Law School that does it also. In August 2006, I wrote a bit about them and suggested that they could be another blackmail trap. They tell us that instead of paying income taxes, we should give them a smaller amount of money every year. The Freedom Law School has several conferences each year in different cities. In their brochure for their conference in November 2007, they list speakers such as Dave Von Kleist, Ted Gunderson, G. Edward Griffin, one of the Loose Change video producers, and Mark Anderson, who works for the American Free Press. At a prominent location on this brochure is a photo of Congressman Ron Paul. In bold letters it says, "Our Saturday evening banquet speaker, Congressman Ron Paul." There is an asterisk next to his name, and at the bottom of the page we find, "At print time, Congressman Paul and his staff are aware of our desire to have him speak at our conference. However, due to his busy schedule, he couldn't give us a 100% confirmation of his attendance." What would you think if I told you that I was going to have a conference next month, and in addition to the confirmed speakers, I have open invitations to George Bush, Queen Elizabeth, and the Pope, and my Saturday evening banquet speaker is Jesus Christ, although at press time, Christ could not give 100% confirmation of his attendance. People who use this technique should be considered con artists, and you should be suspicious of them. Getting back to Mark Glenn and his No More Wars for Israel conference, one of the speakers was Wendy Campbell. She wrote that the conference was a success. Her article was posted at the Rents website, where you can find all sorts of Zionist propaganda. But was the conference really a success? The conference started on Friday, but at some point the hotel refused to let them have access to the conference room. According to Wendy Campbell, Mark Glenn, and Mike Piper, it was canceled because the Zionists, the neocons, and the ADL didn't want the conference to occur. However, I would bet that the canceling of the conference is just another of their tricks. I suspect that on the day of the conference, they discovered that almost nobody showed up except their own agents. They were charging $150 per person for the conference, and they were planning to provide a dinner on Saturday night. But if only a few people showed up, how could they pay for the conference room and the dinner? They were also promising to reimburse some of the speakers for the travel expenses, such as Ellen Mariani. If nobody showed up for this conference, they would not want to pay for it. But how could they avoid paying for the conference room and reimbursing people for their airline tickets? One method to get out of paying your bills is to become a victim. Claim that the ADL and the neocons forced the hotel into canceling the conference because they don't want the truth to come out. It would be even better if you have friends in the ADL and they assist you with this scam. After the weekend was over, Mike Piper begged people on his radio show to contribute money to help them pay their bills and reimburse Ellen Mariani for her airline ticket. Anybody who contributes money to these people is a sucker. Instead of helping these people, we should look at the list of speakers and assume that all of them are Zionist agents. I suspect that their conference was a complete failure, and I think it's because people are becoming suspicious of these truth seekers. Although the Zionist crime network is still in control of America and Europe, I think it's in very serious trouble right now. They're using methods that have been successful for decades, but the internet has changed the situation and made their techniques much less effective. The Zionists are like a group of fish that have been swimming for decades along a stream, but today the internet is slowly draining the water. Every day another Zionist fish can be found flopping around in the mud. We can easily expose these criminals today, and they can't do anything to stop us. We can see who they are and who they associate with. The Internet has removed the secrecy that has been protecting them. One of the techniques they've used for eliminating us has been to make us disappear, commit suicide, or have accidents. However, this technique is losing its effectiveness because the Internet allows us to pass information about people who disappear or die. People all over the world can now analyze the strange disappearances and deaths. For example, when David Kelly of Britain committed suicide, people in different countries who had never heard of David Kelly were able to analyze the information and come to the conclusion that he was murdered. If Kelly had died in 1980, almost none of us would even know of his existence, let alone his strange death. If Christopher Bolin had disappeared in 1980, only a few of us would wonder if he had been kidnapped. By the way, did you know that in January 2005, Christopher Bolin wrote an article about the mysterious disappearances of 9 surviving crew members of the ship, the Estonia? You can find this article on the page I have for Bolin's articles. Scroll down to January 22, 2005. Bolin's article discusses the mysterious disappearances of 9 of the ship's crew members in one day during 1994. These crew members were among the few survivors, so they were witnesses to how the ship sank. But how could 9 of them disappear in one day? In that era, when somebody disappeared, almost nobody noticed. Even when 9 people disappeared in one day, almost nobody noticed. Today, when somebody disappears mysteriously or has a strange suicide or death, there is a very good chance that somebody will post information about it, and then the information can spread around the world. The Zionists developed a lot of successful tricks to maintain control over us, but all of their tricks are becoming less effective. The reason is that all of their tricks depend upon secrecy and deception, and the Internet is allowing us to expose everything. One of their other problems is that, like organized crime gangs, many of the soldiers in this Zionist gang are controlled by threats, bribery, blackmail, and embarrassing initiation ceremonies. This is not an effective way to manage people. I think the more intelligent Zionists are starting to realize that it's hopeless for them. How can they possibly win this battle? All of their tricks depend upon secrecy, and they're losing that secrecy. Some people worry that Israel is secretly threatening other governments, that if Israel is destroyed, then they will use their nuclear and other weapons to take out as many of us as they can. However, history shows that this suicidal attitude happens only on a small scale. If the Israeli leaders were to give the order to the Israeli people to die in a suicidal attempt to take the world with them, most of the Israelis would respond, "You're crazy." There are only a small number of people who will go on suicide missions. Therefore, as Israel becomes exposed, instead of going on a suicide mission to destroy the world, I think we will see a repeat of what has been happening all throughout history. Specifically, the more intelligent Zionists will abandon their crime network and go somewhere to live in peace and quiet. They will leave behind the people who are too famous to run away, such as Michael Chertoff, and the stupid and fanatical Zionists. The crime network will slowly lose some of its better members, and that will make it even easier for us to destroy it. The problem we face is that one selfish, violent group is usually overthrown by another selfish, violent group. The situation doesn't actually get any better, it just changes which group of selfish criminals is in control of us. Hopefully, with the Internet to link us together, we can replace the current group of selfish lunatics with people who are truly an improvement. I think we're already seeing signs that the more intelligent Zionists realize that the situation is hopeless for them. For example, on Monday, October 16, 2007, Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani were interviewed by Frank Whalen of the RBN radio network. Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani supposedly separated last year and went into seclusion because they had lost almost all of their support. So why are they back together and willing to do radio interviews? And why is Frank Whalen promoting a couple that lost credibility last year? I suspect that they were told to come back by their boss in the Zionist Crime Network, and that Frank Whalen was told to promote them. On that radio show, Victor Thorne explained that the 9/11 movement was going nowhere. He had a few valid points. For example, he is correct that we haven't arrested any of the criminals responsible for 9/11. However, his attitude that we cannot defeat this criminal network seems to be contradicted by the return of him and his girlfriend. Put yourself in the position of the Zionist king. Would you bring Lisa Giuliani and Victor Thorne back to help fight for you? Or would you tell them to remain hidden because their reputation has been so badly tarnished? I think that their return is a sign that this crime network is running into so much trouble that they have to recycle their used agents. Bringing the two of them back is equivalent to a military leader telling some soldiers in a hospital to hobble back onto the battlefield. I think this is a sign that the Zionist crime network is running out of suckers to do the dirty work. And listen to the message that Victor gives us. Victor tries to convince us that we are losing in this battle with the mysterious New World Order. This is another of their tricks. It's called the power of suggestion. This method really works, so you should be aware of it. I've even seen it work on my own father. For example, around September 2005, I was interviewed on the George Norrie radio show. It was the one and only time I was ever invited on the Coast to Coast radio show. During that broadcast, there was a time when George Norrie and his Apollo moon landing expert, Richard Hoagland, told me to take a deep breath and calm down. They implied that I was becoming agitated and losing control of myself. By telling me to calm down, they created the impression that I obviously must be losing control of myself, or they wouldn't be telling me to calm down. My father was listening to the radio show, and when I saw him a couple days later, he told me that Richard Hoagland and George Norrie were trying to help me by giving me useful advice. I told him that I wasn't losing control, but my father was fooled by their remark into thinking that I must be losing control. Why else would they have told me to take a deep breath and relax? For another example, when I first created my video in 2003, some people in the Los Angeles area were telling people that my voice is so irritating that I need a professional narrator, and until I get a better narrator, nobody should show my video because it will give people a bad image of 9/11 information. They would repeat this over and over. Huffschmidt's voice is terrible. He needs a professional narrator. His voice is awful. Don't show his video. It will turn people away from 9/11. His voice is terrible. His voice is terrible. Some of you may think that you would never fall for such a silly trick, but this works for everybody. If you want to see what I mean, take a look at any newscaster on television. There is always something about their face or voice that is imperfect. For example, Elizabeth Vargas, who does the news for ABC and is a host for the 2020 television show, has a non-symmetrical upper lip. When she talks, the upper side of her upper lip moves more than the right side. If every day somebody told you that she should be replaced because her non-symmetrical mouth is annoying, after a few weeks you would likely find it difficult to watch her on television without noticing her non-symmetrical mouth. You might even find yourself annoyed by it and thinking to yourself, "They're right! She should be replaced! This is annoying!" Victor and Lisa are trying to convince us that our situation is hopeless. Most of the people in the 9/11 movement are using techniques that advertisers use in order to manipulate our opinions. They try to tell us what to think, such as by telling us that our situation is hopeless. They also try to manipulate our emotions to keep us in a state of fear and confusion by describing the people behind 9/11 as the New World Order. The police cannot arrest the New World Order. They can only arrest people. This is why almost everybody in this 9/11 truth movement is using meaningless expressions such as the New World Order, Illuminati, or globalists. By comparison, when I say Zionists are responsible for these crimes, I'm blaming real people that have addresses and names. These people have formed international organizations and they have a source of income. There is the World Zionist Organization, which was founded in 1897, And there are a variety of similar organizations, such as the Jewish Defense League, the World Jewish Congress, and the ADL. These organizations are not mysterious entities. The people within these organizations can be arrested by the police. The Zionists work with the Israeli government also. The Israeli Zionists also have names and addresses, and they can be dealt with. It's not practical for American police to arrest Israelis, but our military could be dealing with them. The point I'm trying to make is that when somebody tells you that the New World Order is responsible for these crimes, he's telling you nothing. When I tell you that the Zionists are responsible, I'm identifying real people with names and addresses. In order to hold on to some credibility, the 9/11 researchers, such as the Scholars for 9/11 Truth and Alex Jones, have been pressured into identifying some of the people who control the mysterious New World Order. They usually select David Rockefeller, who is currently 92 years old, as well as George Bush and Dick Cheney. It should be rather obvious that they are protecting the entire international Zionist crime network and the Israelis. They are protecting the largest and most diabolical crime network that has ever existed. We're not going to improve the world by arresting David Rockefeller or Dick Cheney. We're going to fix this world only when we completely eliminate the entire Zionist crime network and its base of operations, Israel. If we settle for anything less, we're suckers. We're often told that our situation is hopeless, but the evidence shows that we are gaining ground and that we will eventually destroy Zionism. Another example of this is how attitudes are changing with the John Birch Society. The advertising material for the John Birch Society makes them appear to be an impressive group of people who promote honesty, responsibility, freedom, and other noble causes. For example, in the October 15, 2007 issue of their magazine, which they call The New American, they warn us about an attempt to combine Mexico, United States, and Canada into one nation. The article was written by William Jasper, the senior editor of the magazine. Jasper refers to the people behind the North American Union as technocrats and elites. They promote Ron Paul and the Teamsters president James Hoffa as patriots who are standing up to this North American Union. Their magazine is currently free online if you want to go to their website, jbs.org. This organization is collecting money to stop this North American Union. Their goal is to pass out 1 million copies of their magazine to influential people in order to educate them about this corruption. But how can you educate somebody when you refer to the people behind a crime as technocrats or elites? There are 12 articles in this issue of the magazine, and 3 of them mention David Rockefeller and imply that he is the main person we should be focusing our attention on. This will not educate anybody. This is propaganda that focuses attention on a 92-year-old man. The people who donate money to the John Birch Society are donating to their enemy. A couple years ago, the John Birch Society wrote an article in their magazine that defended the official story of 9/11. Many people assumed that the editors of the magazine were simply naive. One of their members gave a copy of my book and video to William Jasper in order to educate him about 9/11. When the magazine continued to show no signs of learning anything about 9/11, this man invited me to one of the John Birch Society dinners and told me that we should personally give Jasper another copy of the book and video to make sure he understands the issue. So I went to their dinner, and after dinner, the two of us walked over to Jasper and gave him a copy of my book and DVD, and we talked to him a bit. There is no way Jasper can say he doesn't know what's going on with 9/11. So why does he continue to lie about it? Obviously, he's lying on purpose. This would explain why the John Birch Society also lies about other crimes, such as the Apollo moon landing and the Holocaust. The point I'm trying to make is that as time goes by, more people realize that our leaders are not naive. They are liars who are protecting the Zionist crime network. Our group is growing, and the Zionist agents are losing support. We are gaining, they are losing. Every month, you and I learn more about 9/11 or the Holocaust or the attack on the USS Liberty or the Apollo moon landing. We are moving forward in our quest for truth. But the John Birch Society leadership is not moving with us, and neither are the Democrats, the veterans groups, the anti-war groups, or anybody else. You can visualize the situation as putting a jigsaw puzzle together. Each of us has lots of pieces, and each of our puzzles is incomplete, but every once in a while we add another piece to our puzzle. However, our political leaders, the John Birch Society, the veterans groups, and Ron Paul are getting nowhere with their puzzles. Why is it that we can add pieces to our puzzle, but they can't add pieces to theirs? Why can we learn something, but not them? Why aren't they keeping up with us? Your first reaction may be to assume that our leaders are ignorant. However, after a certain number of years, we have to face the fact that our leaders are only pretending to be ignorant. The passage of time helps us figure out who wants to be honest and who doesn't. The passage of time shows us who is learning and who isn't. Once you realize that the John Birch Society are liars, then you have to wonder about the people who support them. Alex Jones supports the John Birch Society, and when he was on vacation between October 12 and October 16, Bob Dacey was filling in for him. Bob Dacey admitted he is a member of the John Birch Society, and he interviewed John McManus, the president of the John Birch Society. It's starting to become rather obvious. Almost everybody in this truth movement is working for this gigantic international Zionist crime network. The internet is also allowing us to easily see who has been lying about previous crimes, such as the JFK assassination. For the past 44 years, some people have been defending the official story, and others have been exposing it. All of these people have been treated as honest investigators who were simply expressing their opinions. Today, it's obvious that most of these people have been lying. For example, Mark Lane, who works for the American Free Press today, wrote several books to expose the Kennedy assassination as a conspiracy. When his books came out, he appeared to be an honest investigator, but today we can easily see that his actual role is to dominate the investigation and shift the blame away from Zionism and Israel. And consider the investigators who have been defending the official JFK story. They appeared to be merely expressing their opinions, but after four decades they should be able to figure out that something is wrong with the official story. How can Vincent Bugliosi write a book in 2007 that claims Oswald killed Kennedy all by himself? How could he not learn anything after 44 years? Here is Vincent Bugliosi using one of the same arguments that people use with 9/11, namely that it's impossible for the JFK assassination to be a conspiracy because somebody would have talked about it.
There's no credible evidence that the CIA or mob or any of these groups was involved in the assassination. Nothing. I told the jury in London, I said, you know, folks, I'll stipulate that three people can keep a secret, I said, but only if two are dead. And here we have a situation where close to 44 years later, not one word, not one syllable has leaked out. Why? Because there's nothing to leak out.
The people who have been defending the official story of these old crimes, such as the JFK assassination, the attack on the USS Liberty, the Apollo moon landing, and the Holocaust, have been repeating the same stupid theories for decades. And they have been getting away with it because people assumed that they were honest researchers who were just reaching a different conclusion. They were treated as one of the blind men who were touching one part of the elephant and describing what they felt. Before the internet was available, the investigators of the JFK assassination or the Apollo moon landing had to spend a lot of time and effort to get access to information about the event that they were investigating. Each researcher got access to only a small amount of the total information. Each researcher could claim that he was a blind man touching only a small portion of the elephant. However, the internet has changed this situation dramatically. Each of us, no matter where we are on this planet, can get access to phenomenal amounts of information. We no longer have to touch a little spot on this elephant. We can see the entire elephant. So why don't the researchers of decades ago revise any of their theories to take into account all of the information that's now available to us? Their inability to learn is exposing them as liars. It's interesting how many people there are who we can expose as liars today. For example, Dr. Kenneth Rahn, professor of oceanography at the University of Rhode Island, defends the official story of JFK. These professors and other so-called investigators have been lying about JFK for years, but until the internet came along, it was not obvious that they were lying. Today, we can expose them, and we can follow them to their associates and expose more liars. Today, it is easy for us to see who among us is lying. Every month, more of these liars expose themselves. All we need to do is find enough people to care, and it's over with for them. Well, that's my talk for today. Until the next time, goodbye.